This podcast is supported by Cartier. In celebration of the Trinity Collection's 100th anniversary, Cartier shares testaments of love in all its forms from around the world. Please keep listening for today's love story later in this episode.
Love now and
did you fall in love last time?
I love her.
Love was stronger than anything.
For the love, love.
And I love you more than anything.
There's still love.
Love.
From the New York Times, I'm Anna Martin. This is the Modern Love Podcast. Today's essay begins with a couple who make a choice just as they're running out of options. And it turns out their act of desperation is also an act of love. The essay is called Getting Married is Better Than Dying, Right? It's written by Pauline Miller and read by Sam Dez.
Should we just get married? Chris asked. Okay, I said, then passed out from exhaustion. I didn't know what was wrong with me. My body felt like it was shutting down. I needed to go to the hospital, but I was a struggling actor. I had no health insurance. I had to take part-time jobs to pay the bills. Chris and I had been happy together for 3 years, living in our separate New York City apartments. Neither of us was eager to get married. He was divorced and not ready to rush into anything. I wanted to be with someone I loved, but thought of myself as way too progressive for something so conventional. I was cynical about love. Or perhaps cynical about what marriage could do to love. My childhood memories of my parents' marriage haunted me. When I was 5, my mother married my stepfather 4 months after meeting him. They didn't realize how difficult it would be to merge two vastly different families. Both of them had lost their first spouses to unexpected illnesses, but they had approached single parenthood from opposite perspectives. Basically, she became strict and he became lax, which meant combining our families was like Leave It to Beaver meets Shameless. They stayed married, but much of my childhood was a painful mess that convinced me there was no such thing as love. Only a temporary, delusional euphoria. But here I was, defying my convictions and accepting a proposal of love. And health benefits. My illness had sneaked up on me gradually. I didn't recognize the gravity of the situation until things got bad one Sunday night at Chris's parents' house. I was sitting at the dinner table, and I got ridiculously cold and didn't even have the strength to keep sitting up. I'm getting the flu, I said. Got to lie down. Buried under 3 blankets on the couch, I was still shivering. Chris's father joined me in the den. That's no flu, he said. You have to go to the doctor. I procrastinated for 2 days, then called my internist friend in Reno, Nevada. I described my symptoms, including the bizarre rash on my face and newly swollen ankles. He ordered me to go to the emergency room. Do I have to? My capacity for denial was astonishing. There might be something seriously wrong with your kidneys, he said. Go. I tried not to panic as I spent the next 2 days exploring options for health insurance. I was freaking out just as much about money as I was about the idea of dying. Freelancers union insurance turned out to be too expensive, and declaring bankruptcy seemed like courting disaster. That's when Chris asked me to marry him. It wasn't what most people would consider a dream proposal, but he was doing what he could because he loved me and wanted to save my life. What's more romantic than that? I worried I might be using him, because although I loved him very much, I didn't believe in marriage. I didn't see how a piece of paper could change our relationship, other than we'd be living in one small apartment instead of two. Though, of course, we could do that without marrying. In any case, I didn't have the capacity to think about it right then. Chris called in sick Monday morning, then asked his human resources department how long it would take for his health insurance to go into effect for a new spouse. The answer? Immediately. He asked his best friend Frank to be our witness at City Hall in a few hours. Frank was a cautious man, and he said, let's wait a minute and think this through. Chris hung up on him. I called my actor friend Rachel, who was overjoyed to help. Next, Chris headed to his place to get the required copy of his divorce papers. He took the subway downtown and walked across the Brooklyn Bridge to call his therapist for support. Parental consultation would have been too complicated on all fronts, so we skipped it. I put on my nicest jeans, my favorite black lace top with embroidered pink and red flowers, and pulled the sides of my hair back. I was so sick, I didn't have the strength to make a real effort. But I didn't want to look like a total slob at my own wedding. Chris, Rachel, and I all converged on the City Hall steps in Lower Manhattan, the ones they always show on Law & Order. Rachel gave us the plastic toy rings she had gotten from a supermarket vending machine. She and Chris half carried me in two buildings to take care of paperwork. The late afternoon cutoff time quickly approached and then just barely passed. Luckily, Rachel, who knows how to flirt, worked her magic on the clerk and he pushed through our paperwork. He sent us to a third building for the ceremony. The dank municipal room looked like it was frozen in the 1960s. Our judge vaguely resembled Judge Judy. As she spoke, Chris held me up on one side and Rachel held me up on the other. The whole thing lasted about 5 minutes. "Congratulations," our judge said. Then she shouted, "Next!" Rachel hailed a cab for herself and me, while Chris rushed to his office to put me on his insurance. He called us as we were stuck in traffic to find out which hospital we were going to and met us in time for my admission processing. Over the next 5 days I spent in the hospital, a slew of specialists concluded that I had lupus, an autoimmune disease that causes the body to attack its internal organs. I had been on the verge of kidney failure and could have died. Chris was a superhero during our first week of marriage. He would go to his job, then to my apartment if I needed something, then to the hospital where he would sometimes stay all night. Then he'd do it all again the next day. Our fifth day of marriage was Halloween, my favorite holiday, and Chris showed up with punk rocker wigs and Mardi Gras beads. I was released that night, and we wore our costumes out of the hospital, onto the street, and into a diner where I wolfed down real food for the first time in a week. Thus began my adventures as a lupus warrior and married person. 9 years later, I have had a spinal tap, a kidney biopsy, and countless platelet injections. I have taken enough medications to kill a horse. I have seen my doctors every 6 to 12 weeks without fail, completely changed my diet and lifestyle, and slept more than I thought humanly possible. It took me years to recover from that initial flare, but I have been fortunate enough to experience extended remission, too. Chris and I are still married and live in a studio apartment with our Bichon Frise Willy. We haven't wanted to kill each other a single time. Well, maybe once. But when you or your spouse has almost died, you're less likely to be bothered by the small stuff. After my immediate health crisis passed, I was able to look back and appreciate how much Chris had stepped up to take care of me. His passive side disappeared the moment he proposed. I had never seen him take charge like that. It was sexy. He risked major fury from his traditional parents. He married me anyway. I like to think that if we hadn't been pulled into marriage by circumstance, we would be living much the same way as we are now, but without rings. I suspect we would have moved in together eventually. I kept my own name, so that would be the same. Family obligations might be different, but maybe not. But would we have grown this close if we hadn't experienced the medical emergency that pushed us into marriage? I doubt it. Lupus woke me up and forced me to take a leap of faith with Chris. And it taught me this. Being married to someone you love is a lot better than being married to your own cynicism.
This podcast is supported by Cartier.
For my 20th wedding anniversary, my husband gave me an amazing letter. We were having lunch in the park, the same park we got married in. And in the letter, he talks about all of the journeys and things that we've done. And he says, if I said to you, you were going to watch African sunrises from Ghana, if I said to you, you'll eat breakfast in Paris and sleep in the desert, dance in the streets of New Orleans or ride a camel, all while by my side, at the time, it would have seemed like a wild dream. But yet, those dreams are, in fact, our memories. I cried like a baby when I read that letter. And I cry every time I read it. It made me feel in love. It made me feel in love.
With Love, from Cartier.
Hi, this is Eric Kim with New York Times Cooking. As a recipe developer, I spend a lot of my time trying to come up with dishes that are quick, easy, but also very special. For me, that means dishes like gochugaru salmon. It's a crispy salmon fillet with a salty, sweet glaze that bubbles up and candies. I love cooking this because it only takes 20 minutes. You can get this recipe and so many more ideas on New York Times Cooking. Visit nytcooking.com to get inspired.
Hey, it's Anna. I'm here with our producer, Julia. Say hey.
Hi.
We're standing outside the city clerk's office in downtown New York, and we're here because the author of today's essay gets married here. And Julia and I wanted to talk to some couples on their big day. You want to go on in?
Yeah, let's go. Hello there. We're from the podcast Modern Love. This is my colleague, Anna.
Why did you want to get married at the city clerk's?
Well, we've been planning like a ceremony reception with our families, and we wanted to kind of do something for us.
I think there's something special about Manhattan City Hall. He's from Germany, I'm from the Midwest, but the city was really where our lives intersected.
Can I ask, how did you guys meet?
Online.
Yeah, like through DM, I guess.
DM over Instagram or Twitter or what?
Yeah, it was MySpace, yeah.
Whoa, MySpace.
Nobody talks about MySpace, right?
Do you remember the moment you first saw each other?
Oh, yeah. We were like in a factory to produce items to Amazon. So we just met out of line.
And what was your first impression of Maria?
Beautiful. I had to get her number.
And what was your first impression of him?
Who's this guy?
I'm Mike McSweeney. I'm the city clerk. And we are here in the Manhattan Marriage Bureau of the New York City Clerk's Office.
Is there one couple or a marriage in particular that sticks out to you that you remember?
There were a few. An older couple was getting married. And the bride had a son who was about 10 years old. And just as I started the ceremony, I said, is there anyone here that has any reason to object? And the 10-year-old son started crying at the top of his lungs. And he said, I don't want my mom to get married. Tears rolling down his face. His aunt brought him out. There was a little conversation. His mom went out. So his mom and her sister were talking to him. And he came back in. He had stopped crying. And he said, I'm okay. And I proceeded with the ceremony. That's one I'll never forget.
Wow.
Hi, I'm with the New York Times with the podcast Modern Love. Can I ask, when did you both decide to get married?
We used to be married before. And then 2 years ago, we got divorced. And then we're getting back together again. It's crazy, right?
No way. That's amazing. How long did it take you to get an appointment here for the ceremony?
Well, this is our second attempt. It's very difficult to get a date with City Hall.
We kept checking every day to see if there was an appointment available, and it wasn't. It was literally on Valentine's Day. It was like, wow, I think they did it on purpose to make people on Valentine's Day feel happy.
Yeah.
We actually found today, when we did our virtual license meeting, I thought that was the day we were getting married, and my mom put like the actual date on champagne glasses.
So then she understood it was not that day, but you know.
They told us to come in person. Yeah. So I'm like,
yeah. You look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Are you guys going to do something to celebrate afterwards?
Yeah, but not now. I mean, not today, because we got to work.
Mm-hmm. You know? Have to go to work right after this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maria, Manuel, Acosta.
Oh,
that's us.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to Miriam Harvey, to Sue Yang and Gabriel Krochmal, to Jessica Olson and Brady Randall, and to Yeun Kim and J-Mo Lee.
Felicidades a Glenys Alvarez and Juan Carlos Pinales, to Rinaldo Melgar and Kathleen De La Cruz, to David and Melissa Ramos, and Maria and Gennaro.
Modern Love is produced by Julia Botero and Hans Buto. It's edited by Sarah Saracen. This episode was mixed by Alicia Baitoup. The Modern Love theme music is by Dan Powell. Digital production by Mahima Chablani. Special thanks to Ryan Wegner at Autumn and to Michael McSweeney, the city clerk for the City of New York, who gave us the best public restroom recommendation in all of Lower Manhattan. The Modern Love column is edited by Dan Jones. Mia Lee is the editor of Modern Love Projects. I'm Anna Martin. Thanks for listening.